It's Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up anything that's on your mind on this live Sunday edition of the program. Welcome to it. With you here in studio tonight, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Daryl.
Of course, we'll talk to you about whatever's on your mind on the way. We've got some interesting kind of economic-related stories, because on Sunday nights, we've been doing the chapter-by-chapter review-slash-book club thing here of Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. And we do have Chapter 11 to get through tonight, which I admittedly have failed to read this week. So I'm going to try to do it during the commercial breaks and see if we can talk about it later. But either way, there's some related stories to some of the lessons that we've been learning here from Economics in One Lesson that I think, you know, we can apply to some of these discussions, including the first one here, California's bullet train hurtling towards a multi-billion dollar overrun, according to a confidential federal report. Well, apparently it's not confidential anymore. It's being published in the Los Angeles Times. We'll get
into
that.
Was it in Hillary's emails?
I don't know. We can get into that here in a moment. But I first want to welcome our brand newest radio affiliates on board here on Sunday nights. And that is WBNW 1120 out of Concord, Massachusetts, which is one of the suburbs of Boston. So some folks can hear us in the Boston area, which
nice.
Is pretty cool. And it's a welcome back, actually, to WBNW. They were actually one of our earlier stations. Like, they were probably on like a decade ago. I remember going down there and touring the studios not long after we'd moved up here. You know, me and Mark moved here in 2006 up to Keene, New Hampshire. So we actually went down there because they were one of our affiliates. They were in the area. Figured we'd go down and meet the program director.
Nice.
And they had us on, I think, weeknights at that time. It's actually a Money Talk station, so I think it's one of, what, two? I think you signed on a Money Talker in Phoenix
yes.
as well. So it's nice to be on a station that cares about economics, and that would be 1120 AM WBNW in Concord. So welcome back to our listeners. Maybe some of you were listening a decade ago, and you remember us from way back when. Anyway, if you don't remember us, you're new to the show, then you know that we're bit of a different kind of a program. It really is open phones here every night on Free Talk Live. So even though we all bring stuff to the table to talk about, you might want to just bring something up, something you've wanted to discuss. Well, we're here for you. Also, KHMO AM 1070, welcome aboard in Hannibal, Missouri. Also, both of those stations are coming on for both of our weekend edition shows. So welcome aboard to everybody in Hannibal, the hometown of Huck Finn, I believe.
Mark Twain.
Well, right. But he actually wrote, I guess, the Huck Finn story in Hannibal, if I'm not mistaken.
And we are delayed broadcast in Hannibal.
That's correct.
So you'll be hearing us a little later. If you're hearing us, it's a little bit later. We're live from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Correct. And so therefore, if you want to participate, you just have to call during our live hours and you can talk about anything you want to discuss. So welcome aboard, new affiliates, new listeners to those stations. And of course, we're here and you can talk about anything. Toll free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If you're an internet listener and you want to know if we've got radio stations nearby you, you can just go to affiliates.freetalklive.com and that'll take you to the list of over 160 great radio stations on AM and FM that carry the show throughout the week at various different times. So, California, story from Ralph Vartabedian, the reporter over at the Los Angeles Times. California's bullet train could cost taxpayers 50% more than estimated, as much as $3.6 billion more. Now, that's apparently just for the first 118 miles of this thing that is supposed to go from through the Central Valley, and that was supposed to be the easiest part of the route between Los Angeles and San Francisco. Now, Daryl, you happen to have an internet terminal in front of you. Maybe you could find out how many miles between San Francisco and Los Angeles. I don't know my geography when it comes to California. I've been to both of those places in California, but I don't really know where they are.
According to the Google bot, let me see here, it is 383 miles.
So they're not even halfway done with this construction.
That's and as the crow flies, I assume.
That's actually so interstate driving.
Yeah, driving distance.
That's driving distance on Interstate 5. So, you know, depending on how they're doing this, you know, there's a mountain between L.A. and San Francisco.
That could pose a problem.
That, you know, I'm guessing they're going to want to go around unless they're trying to go through. So still, we're looking at, you know, 350 miles at minimum.
Now, you know, the government has a long history of railroad boondoggles as far as, you know, going as far back as the 1800s. But I bet you the per mile cost of the even the boondoggled railroads in the 1800s were a hell of a lot cheaper than the per mile cost of this bullet train between Los Angeles and San Francisco. A confidential Federal Railroad Administration risk analysis obtained by the Times projects that building bridges, viaducts, trenches, and track from Merced to Shafter just north of Bakersfield could cost $9.5 billion to as much as $10 billion compared with the original budget of $6.4 billion. And people who've paid attention to government construction projects should not be surprised by this. I mean, generally, if the government says they're going to build something, you should just go ahead and expect that it's going to cost two, three times as much as what you, or 50% in this case, 50% as much as what was originally intended for the project.
I do expect that, but I don't. Why do I expect that? Why does it always happen that way?
Because government is inefficient, and their contractors also, you know, suffer from that same level of inefficiency, because even though they're a private contractor, they've got a sweetheart deal with the government, and if they can inflate the costs to some extent, they can always go back to the till and, you know, put their hands out and say, whoops, we really messed up the estimates on this. Well, we're already this much through it. You're just going to have to cough up a few more billion to get this thing done.
Right, and a lot of this is because, you know, when you're playing around with other people's money, you're less careful about how you spend it. And I was able to find a as the crow flies distance of 348 miles between LA and San Francisco.
Well, we know it's not going to be as the crow flies, so even as the crow flies, they're not even halfway done with this thing. So the federal document outlines far-reaching management problems, significant delays in environmental planning, lags in processing invoices for federal grants, and continuing failures to acquire the needed property. California's High-Speed Rail Authority originally anticipated completing the Central Valley Track by this year, but the federal risk analysis... Are you reading ahead on this and laughing?
No, I'm laughing at the claim that they were going to be done with it this year.
Okay, because I thought you were laughing at the projected date. So now, the federal risk analysis estimates that it will not be completed. Just this part of the track will not be completed until 2024.
Oh, good Lord.
That is, that's 7 years from now.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I mean, this is like, this is the big dig. I mean, here in the New England, a lot of people are familiar with the big dig.
I've heard people talk about it, but I have no clue what it actually is.
I don't know intimately the history of the big dig. I just know it's a really long-running construction project that I think was supposed to be some kind of tunnel under some kind of lake or river or whatever. Honestly, I don't know what the original intention was, but it just turned into this ridiculous boondoggle that just lasted for like two decades or something ridiculous like that.
All right, so according to Wikipedia, the Big Dig was a mega project in Boston that rerouted the central artery of Interstate 93 as the chief highway through the heart of the city into the 3.5-mile Thomas P. O'Neill Jr. Tunnel. The project also included the construction of the Ted Williams Tunnel, which extended Interstate 90 to Logan Airport. There were a couple other bridges that wound up being built.
People died during the Big Dig construction.
The official planning phase started in 1982.
I believe
the project
recently finished.
Concluded in 2007.
Yep. So let's talk more about government boondoggles and building projects, and you can share your thoughts here with us. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live, and you can join us and take control of the airwaves. We'll be right back. It's Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the program. What's the worst government boondoggle construction project that you're aware of? You can join us here toll-free. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about the California bullet train that is 50% over budget already, and they're not even anywhere close to being finished with this thing. Led to a discussion of some of these, you know, classic over-budgeted things like the Big Dig in Boston, which, Daryl, you've got a little more info on.
Yes.
We'll share that coming up here in a moment. But speaking of 50%, how about a good kind of 50%? 50% off of hosting over at one of the top hosting companies out there. It's HostGator. You go to HostGator.com/FTL. That's FTL like Free Talk Live. You'll get 50% off of their regular hosting prices. It makes it super easy, affordable, and they've got 24/7 over-the-phone or live chat tech support. They've got a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. Add to that a 99.99% uptime rating, and you don't have to worry about outages for your new site. Go to HostGator.com/FTL, or maybe it's an old site. Maybe you already have a site and you're tired of your current host and you want to make a move, go check out HostGator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get that special 50% off deal. So it's Ian, Johnny Ray, and Daryl. Let's go to the phones here, and we'll talk more about government ridiculous boondoggle projects. David's on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, David. Hello, David. Going once. Do we have David in New Mexico? David in New Mexico going twice? All right, so maybe some technical difficulties there. So, Daryl, you pulled up a historical Wikipedia piece about the Big Dig, which was a boondoggle project in Boston with the intention of rerouting, I think you said, I-93.
I-93, Interstate 90, and doing a couple of bridges over the Bay River thing.
No big deal, just a few billion dollars. 10 years is what was expected, right?
About 15 okay. years, actually. The Big Dig was, according to this article, the most expensive highway project in the United States, and was
wow.
plagued by escalating cost, scheduling overruns, leaks, design flaws, charges of poor execution and use of substandard materials, criminal arrest, and one death. The project was originally scheduled to be completed in 1998.
After having started in the 80s?
The planning began in 1982.
Wow.
So roughly 15 years.
Wow.
And estimated cost of $2.8 billion in 1982 dollars. Adjusted for inflation, that was $6 billion as of 2006. However, the project was completed only in December 2007 at a cost of over $14.6 billion, $8 billion in 1982 dollars, meaning the cost was an overrun of about 190% as of 2006.
Wow.
The Boston Globe estimates the project will ultimately cost $22 billion once they include all of the interest that will not be paid off until
2038. Wow.
As a result of the death, the leaks, and other design flaws, Betchell and Parsons Brinkerhoff, the consortium that oversaw the project, have agreed to pay $407 million in restitution, and several smaller companies have agreed to pay a combined sum of approximately $51 million.
That's chump change compared to the billions of dollars.
$22 billion.
Jeez.
Once they finally pay it off in 2038.
Yeah.
Well, sir, there's nothing on earth like a bona fide, genuine, electrified six-car monorail. What'd I say? Monorail. That's right. What's it called? Monorail. That's right.
Everyone
monorail.
Loves a monorail.
And
I hear those things are awfully loud. It glides as softly as a cloud. Is there a chance the track could bend? Not on your life, my Hindu friend. What about us brain-dead slobs? You'll be given cushy jobs. Were you sent here by the devil? No, good sir, I'm on the level. The ring came off my pudding can. Take my penknife, my good man. I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice. Monorail. What's it called? Monorail. Once again, monorail. But Main Street's still all cracked and broken. Sorry, Mom, the mob has spoken. Monorail. Once again, monorail. Daryl. Monorail. Diddle, 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 diddle. Mono. Dope.
Where is that from, Johnny Gray?
Of course, Ian, that is an episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, did you not get the Springfield reference? And...
No, I thought they were talking about Springfield, Massachusetts.
Sure, Springfield anywhere. No, I had that on a collection of Simpsons music that I had as a youngster.
And oh, awesome.
It was a Christmas gift this year, and it's Phil Hartman playing the part of Lyle Lanley,
Who's
selling the town of Springfield
on the monorail.
And he just wants that sweet, sweet municipal money.
Sure.
Once it gets out of your wallet, you've got a lot less control over it,
mm-hmm.
and it's more susceptible to a charlatan and a huckster.
So big business benefiting from their connections with governments with these humongous costs where, again, it's the sunken cost fallacy, right? Like, you're already in this deep. Can't just say, call it quits. I mean, we've already built 118 miles worth of track. We can't just stop here.
Right, but sometimes it's just, you know, governmental agencies themselves and not even contractors. There was a story that I covered on the FPP Radio News from Anti-War where the Pentagon's day-to-day budget is now, or rather the cost of day-to-day business at the Pentagon is now over 50% of the military budget.
Jeez.
Yeah, so...
So just running the Pentagon itself is,
yes.
like all the bureaucrats that are there shuffling papers, you're saying,
yes.
is 50% of the budget, having nothing to do with actual warring and building tanks or whatever?
That's what the article here says, yes.
Incredible. What's the source on that?
Antiwar.com, and they do their research. Cite Military Times.
Yep.
So, you know, when something comes from the Military Times, that's like
pretty,
the official government statement there.
Unbelievable. Let's talk to Marcia. She's in Albuquerque. Marcia, go ahead with your thoughts on Free Talk Live.
Yes. I wanted to say what I think is a big white elephant and a boondoggle is the art, which we have here. It's called the Albuquerque Rapid Transit.
Yep.
And it's supposed to go, I don't know if you've heard about it, on Route 66, that's Central Avenue, which is the main road.
Right.
And meanwhile, they've been ripping up the roads there and the construction. Mayor Berry did that. And it's against the people's will, most of them in Albuquerque.
Hold that thought, Marcia. We have heard about this, actually. One of our regular callers is a huge fan of this, and we are not. So stand by. I can definitely relate to where you're coming from. This is Route 66. I mean, everybody's heard of Route 66.
Yes.
This is a main drag, and there's a lot of businesses who are basically, you know, you can't do business when the government's constructing a road out front of the place. It's Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
If you had one day to teach someone economics, what would you say? We would say that innovation and prosperity requires economic freedom. Visit fee.org/courses and check out Economics in One Day, a crash course in free market economics that you can present to your community. For over 70 years, the Foundation for Economic Education has been a champion of liberty. Start today at no charge by visiting fee.org/courses and learn why economic freedom matters.
It is Free Talk Live. You may take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in studio, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
As we continue here, we'll get back into government boondoggle projects, including the bullet train that is already billions of dollars over budget. in California and not even halfway done with the track that they have to lay. We can tell you more about that. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome about whatever you want to discuss. On the way, and Acapulco is coming up in just over 1 month, about a month and a week and a half or so. At this point, Acapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists. It's held annually in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico, where they bring together hundreds of principled anarchists to share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state and central banks. The unparalleled lineup of speakers will include some great folks like Roger, a.k.a. Bitcoin Jesus Veer, who I haven't seen in a long time. Looking forward to seeing Roger down there. Luke Radowski, Larkin Rose, Jeffrey Tucker, Adam Kokesh, Josie Wales, Derek J. Freeman, Dr. Stephanie Murphy, and more, including Lynn Ulbricht, the mother of Ross Ulbricht, the man sitting in prison right now on 2+ life sentences for running a website. She'll be giving us the latest, I'm sure, on what's happening with Ross's appeal. So all of that and more, you can go to anarchapulco.com and get your tickets there. Just registered my plane ticket, I think, last night. So I'm ready to go. February 25th through the 28th, that's when it's happening. It's at the Mundo Imperial Resort and Expo. Again, February 25th through the 28th. And we'll look forward to seeing you because Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event. Anarchapulco.com. We'll see you there. As we go back to Marsha in Albuquerque, we're talking about government boondoggles, and she's called in about one we've actually heard of before. We don't live down in Albuquerque, but we've got a regular caller who just loves the idea of this Albuquerque Rapid Transit, the ART system, which is, if I'm recalling correctly, a federally funded program for... Do you remember how much it is supposed to cost, Marsha?
No, but I know it's probably costing billions that the mayor got, and they said if they don't, you know, use it and take it, but why couldn't he use it? And he went against the will of the people. They're tearing up the roads, and we never have traffic in Albuquerque, even on Central, but now they made traffic, and they have to divert traffic, and businesses, the stores there are losing business.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I don't know why they had to do this. First of all, you have to take a car in order to get to this bus when it'll be done. And it's going to be a 2-year fiasco, I believe. And I think he did it for his buddies. I mean, I don't know why he went against the will of the people. And
because it was free money.
And it's electric. It's electric buses, which is very, very trendy.
Yeah, but couldn't it be used for something else? I mean, like lots of light in the dark when you drive here because we're not a big city and a lot of it's rural. Couldn't they have used it to light up the freeways and make anti-reflective markings and for the signs instead?
Well, there might not have been free money for that.
Well, wouldn't it be federal? I mean, wouldn't that be for the roads? Isn't
federal
that the road?
Money here, apparently, according to Wikipedia, the ART project is expected to cost $119 million, with federal funds covering $100 million of it, $100.6 million, so about 84% federally funded. So I guess the idea would be that those federal funds just wouldn't be there if they were just going to be, you know, upgrading the streets rather than a total teardown and insertion of this so-called rapid transit program, which, as you've already pointed out, this thing is going to, it already is disrupting business on Route 66. And business owners, you know, who might have been on the edge of profitability are probably going to be put out of business by this. I mean, if you're...
Well, yeah, and they had to take out trees and tear out trees, which they had put in before. And then what are they going to do? Put in other trees? I mean, I wanted to say one thing. I don't know where you live, but over here, do you notice they dig up sidewalks and dig up roads and have construction crews, and then they bury it and cover it up, and it's the same road again. They'll dig it up again.
Oh, sure.
And the same... Well, why can't they? I mean, why can't these funds go to something else? And plus, I don't know if that was federal. We have the Rail Runner here. That was Bill Richardson. And the Space Center with Bill Branson. And they're both not making any money.
Isn't it true that this ART system, this rapid so-called rapid transit, is going to take up like 3 lanes worth of traffic in order to have one lane for buses?
Right. I mean, in cars. Well, what about that? I don't even go near right. Central Avenue. But he's able to do it. I mean, they're able to do these things against the will of the people, right?
And they do whatever they want. It's just proof that the government does whatever it is they want to do, and you have to pay for it. It's a crazy system. Marcia, thanks for the call tonight. I definitely understand your frustration, because this was something that was very controversial there in Albuquerque. Lots of business owners, you know, were petitioning against this. The people that have businesses on the planned route of this bus system were not in favor of it. I mean, maybe there was a few of them that were, but for the most part, you're going to be cutting down on the amount of throughput on those lanes of traffic. If it's, I forget how many lanes it is right now, but it's going to be fewer lanes after this is said and done with this new bus system running right down the middle of the road.
I have an article from the Albuquerque Journal that says $63 million of public works projects in Albuquerque, including what we're talking about here, mm-hmm. The local money came from bond issuance, and it was a way that the mayor and the council could get around the will of the people, like the caller was saying, because with these bonds, they have control over the money, and they don't have to. They can just issue the bond, and then if the voters approve the bond, then they can do whatever they want with the money instead of the voters deciding what to do with the money. Something like that.
And the bond, of course, is essentially a tax on future generations, right?
Yeah. And they're doing things like what she was talking about. And also, I see that they've got pickleball courts.
Pickleball?
Yeah. Did you guys ever play? Daryl, surely you've played pickleball.
Never heard of pickleball.
What is it?
We played it at Asheville High in gym class. It's you play on a tennis court.
Yeah.
And the rules are, I think, mostly the same. And you use a wiffle ball and like a ping pong paddle, or like a big.
I've never heard of this.
An oversized ping pong paddle, maybe.
That sounds very silly. What's this have to do with the boondoggle?
Albuquerque is having their taxpayers put pickleball courts in downtown Albuquerque.
The next time Sarah calls in, we need to ask her if she plays pickleball.
Yeah. She hasn't called yet tonight, so make a note. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Let's go to Eric in Florida. If you've got a government boondoggle that you want to tell us about, you're welcome to. I mean, there's no shortage of these things. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi there. How you doing, Ian?
Welcome, sir.
I have two comments. One is about Amtrak, and then if you wouldn't mind after that, I have a quick question about the Free State Project when we're done with the
okay,
Amtrak.
Okay, sure.
So, and I wanted to also thank you. I thanked Daryl the other night for your principled stand with all these people with the Hall of Hope stuff earlier in the week.
The alt-righters were calling us earlier this week. Apparently, they're bored with Chris Cantwell, and they're listening to us now. Or again.
Yeah,
I don't even know if they're actually listening.
I'm sorry, y'all were cross-talking there.
That's the thing. I agree, Daryl. I don't think they are listening.
Probably
I think
not.
They rationalize their hatred because they say, oh, well, it's compliant with sin libertarianism, the property rights, freedom of association, and the non-aggression principle. So I can do whatever I want and be as disgusting about it. You know what I'm saying?
I think they probably do listen just long enough to hear their own calls. That's probably about
yes.
Because we know that they record some of the show and they will, you know, make videos out of it. So anyway.
Right. Well, I wanted to thank you. And so moving on to Amtrak, that's become like my new little pet peeve.
Oh, yeah. This is an ongoing government boondoggle. Hang on. We'll continue with you here, Eric. Stand by. Our toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. One of my favorite Amtrak boondoggle stories was that they argued for like 2 years over what color to make the drapes on the Amtrak trains or something like that.
Wow.
Something ridiculous. And I don't remember how much they spent on it. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You're invited here to dial in toll-free. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about government boondoggles, and then still to come, we got more economic discussion from Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt, as we've been going through chapter by chapter and kind of doing a book club, book review thing here on the air. Here on Free Talk Live. You can join us with you in the studio. It's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
We'll go back to your calls and thoughts, but also want to invite you to our website where you can actually get interactive, unlike I've ever seen on any other talk show website. You get to create the content that's there on the front page of the site. So if you find some news story or blog post or maybe a YouTube video, something that's fun or outrageous or you know whatever it is you want to share with the listeners of the show and the hosts of the show, you just submit it via our Reddit-based system over at freetalklive.com. And it's free to do that. So you can submit it, and then it's also free to vote. You can vote up or down on the other stories submitted by other listeners over there at freetalklive.com. Plus, the whole website's free. You got the webcam, which most of the other talk show hosts charge you for access to things like that. Archives that go back for a decade. It's all free at freetalklive.com. As we go back to Eric, he's in Florida. You wanted to talk about Amtrak, and then you had a question for us about the Free State Project. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so it looks, I mean, Amtrak is, I've used it about six times for trips between New York and Florida.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not bad, but when you look at what we're paying for as taxpayers, it just doesn't make any sense. It looks like since 72, Cato had stated somewhere in the area of $20 billion in federal subsidies. And yeah, and their estimated market value is only between $6.5 and $7 billion.
Wow.
So we're literally paying, you know, 20% of their overall market value. I think we're given $1.4 per year.
Now, it's also interesting because who is it that calculates the market value of what is essentially, you know, are they a monopoly? Are there any other passenger train services out there besides Amtrak? I mean,
they are a monopoly as far as
I think there are.
Yeah, I don't think there are either. So, like, what's the value of this thing that essentially is, you know, running in the red, it sounds like, if it has to be subsidized? I mean, I haven't looked at the budget or
anything
like that.
Well, the way you determine a valuation is how much stuff do they have? So it's not just
capital
profits
assets
and loss,
yeah,
but it's also, you know, how much stuff.
They got a bunch of trains,
yeah,
choo-choo, a bunch of choo-choo trains, but yeah, who the hell wants that?
And they've got, apparently, the track, I guess, is now, you know, considered property.
Oh.
They do use some freight tracks, especially in Florida, and literally, every time I do this trip, we sit for 30 minutes right outside of Okeechobee, Florida, waiting for no good reason, really. They say, oh, the train is going to pass as if it's going to switch. But really, all it is, it just comes by. It's just so wasteful, you know. But yeah, what is it really worth? I don't know. But both Cato and a great article in Forbes that I was reading are, you know, pushing for privatization. And I think that's definitely needs to happen.
It would be interesting to see, you know, who would bid on it and how much it would get bid to. I mean, then we would actually know what it's worth. Until then, it's just all, you know, speculation. But go ahead with your further thoughts.
Yeah, so anyway, so check this out. I made a trip to New York, round trip ticket paid in advance, to go up and see my mom. I hadn't seen her in 4 years. So the first trip, the first leg of the trip going up, everything was great. Okay. When I bought my ticket, I bought insurance on the ticket. Okay. They offer you for $17, you get insurance, you know,
that doesn't sound like a bad deal.
Whatever. It doesn't sound like a bad deal, but when I was coming back from upstate New York, to Penn Station, New York, I got stuck in a snowstorm on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I called Amtrak, and they would not honor the fact that I had insurance on the trip. They would not do anything to help me. Charged me another $170 to leave the following day, 24 hours later on.
Wow.
Now, I'm a disabled vet, and I've been bouncing back from a back injury that happened 5 years ago. So I live on a pretty tight budget. And I escalated it through all the customer service to management to everybody else. And I was like, are you kidding me? What did I buy insurance for? You know, if you know, it seems like it was an act of God, right? A snowstorm. Yep. These people, as in all federal bureaucracies, could give a hoot, you know? And so, and that's another thing the Forbes article brings up is that, you know, being a monopoly and a federally subsidized monopoly, they're not focused on customer service.
Absolutely not.
You know, they're not trying to do all that good of a job.
I mean, the airlines aren't exactly notorious for great customer service, some of them, but at least there's some level of competition between them to where if they have to put you off for a day, they'll usually throw you into a hotel room or something like that,
right,
and then give you the, you know, the next flight out. But
right,
yeah, not that way.
Plus, they'll give you some airline miles, yeah, or, you know, a voucher towards a reduced flight.
Apparently, right, it's not that way with Amtrak because they know you can't go anywhere else.
No,
right, right,
the
same way.
I had to fork over the 170 and sleep in Penn Station. And got harassed by Amtrak cops for sleeping on top of my baggage in their safe zone, their Amtrak zone. They have like a frequent traveler club,
uh-huh,
area. They wouldn't even put me up in there. These people, it's just like, you know.
Wow.
So it became a new, yeah, but it's illustrative of why, or illustrates why, you know, we believe what we believe because it's based upon fact. I mean, you know, there's no more arguments with this this crony capitalism that is an epidemic in our country. It's
everybody knows. Yeah, everybody knows that monopolies are bad. I mean, everybody knows this,
right,
but yet they give the government a pass on monopoly.
Yeah, because they are the ultimate monopoly. Government is, they have the monopoly on force, as we all know. I mean, you know, it's just, yeah.
All right, next topic.
So anyway, so Free State Project, I'm very, very interested. And I just wanted, if I could, I wanted to make sure, I'm doing my research right now. What are the best websites and the best forums or whatever that I need to check out?
For what purpose?
For moving up there, for joining the Free State Project, and then making the transition to New Hampshire.
You know, you don't have to join the Free State Project to move to New Hampshire. I mean, at this point, they've made their 20,000 signers, and people are planning their moves and or moving or have moved. I mean, if you feel like joining something, you can join the Free State Project. But there's also the Shire Society, which is a not as organized migration to New Hampshire. It doesn't have the same problems that have plagued the Free State Project. It doesn't have a board of directors, for instance. There's no tracking of the membership there, and it's a much more explicit voluntarist statement rather than kind of a small government statement. So if you want to join, there are actually a couple different things that you can join. So there's the Free State Project. There's also the Shire Society. Shire Society has forums. So does the Free State Project. The Shire Society forums are forum.shiresociety.com. And it's been redesigned at the very end of the last year. We put in new forum software. I like it. I think it's very, very nice. It's very modern feeling, and it's responsive and works well on a mobile phone. So there's actually been some activity there, and it's been hard to get people to go onto forums. There are also Facebook groups as well, but I find that Facebook groups are counterproductive in general.
I find Facebook is generally counterproductive.
Yeah.
I'll have a tab open on my laptop for Facebook, but I don't really like do a lot on there.
Good for you.
But every now and then I go play whack-a-mole and just clear off the notifications.
Oh, that's not a game. It's just a get rid of the notifications. Gotcha.
It's kind of like
Facebook
whack-a-mole
too. So yeah, I don't know. Guys, do you have any recommendations for forums?
Both of the forums that you mentioned do have job boards and housing finder stuff. Plus there's those groups on Facebook, the job search and the housing search. That's why I was asking, you know, what specifically are you trying to find out? Because
housing is part of it. Housing is a big part of it. I'm interested and keen. But, you know, I want to kind of check out the whole area. Oh,
sure.
The question I had, what about, are there any, is anybody in the libertarian community up there have like bed and breakfast, or are there hostels or something if I want to take a trip? I'm looking, you know, when I come up and check it out, I'm just curious if there's.
Is Stone Manor still open?
I don't know.
There was a place in Fitzwilliam called Stone Manor, and I think they might still be operating. It's like a libertarian bed and breakfast. But yeah, jump on the Shire Society forums at forum.shiresociety.com. That's a good place to start. There's also the Free State Project forums, and call back with any other questions. Thanks, Eric. We'll see you when you get up here.
Thank you.
Toll-free number 855-450. We just got our new Rye Guys t-shirts. I chose the Power Corrupts shirt and the I'm Already Against the Next War shirt. These quality shirts look good and feel good, and they feature clever, thought-provoking designs to promote freedom, peace, and healthy skepticism of modern mythologies. The Rye Guys donate a portion of proceeds to antiwar.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. Enter coupon code FTL at checkout to get 15% off your order. That's ryguys.com, W-R-Y-guys.com, ryguys.com. It's a Rye wit for today's shit.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free and join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in studio tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
As we continue here, launching into the second hour, for those of you just tuning in, we'll bring you up to speed. We have been discussing government boondoggles, and it ended up, we actually just barely scratched the surface of the original story that sparked this conversation in the first place from the Los Angeles Times about this bullet train that is nowhere near completion, but yet is already clocking in at $3.6 billion more expensive than it was estimated to be. And that's just for the first 118 miles through the Central Valley on a line that ultimately is supposed to connect Los Angeles to San Francisco. It's been an incredible boondoggle, and there's more to say about that, but we can continue here with your calls and thoughts because, of course, you can take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. So let's go to James Cleveland, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, now in Denver. Hey, James, you're on via Skype.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome, sir.
So I've been doing these. So there's like these delivery apps that are kind of like Uber and Lyft, but for food. So I've been trying them out.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed, the topic I was going to bring up is tipping. So like most people tip, but like there's a couple people, and I found honestly, like it's the rich. It seems like the richer the people are, the worse they tip.
Really?
Like they'll order like $50 of food and not tip.
Wow.
And like, yeah, like last night I did a delivery like after midnight, and so I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go out and I'll fight the snow for you, sure. And they got like over $100 of food, and I had to drive 6 miles, and then they tipped $2, And then now they're saying they either canceled the order or they're claiming that they don't get it. I'm not sure. It doesn't tell me. But so I didn't even get paid for that. So it's
what?
Like, yeah, I don't know. So one thing I like about Uber and Lyft is you can rate the passengers. So that's one thing I think that some of these delivery apps need to implement.
Let me see if I understand something here on this $100 food delivery order thing. You paid out of pocket to cover the cost of the food when you picked it up?
No.
No.
No, the
okay.
company paid for it, which
okay.
is good, but I still had to drive it, and it's like, I don't know, it's kind of
right. So you're out your
paid.
Time. At least you're not out the hundred and something dollars.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But it's kind of funny. So it's like a sports bar. So I show up, and the lady's all mad, the waitress, because, you know, they have customers at the bar. And she said, oh, I hope this person's really stoned because they've put my kitchen back by 40 minutes.
Wow.
So, like, yeah. So,
and
like,
then
not
they screwed
only did this person not pay, he inconvenienced everyone.
Jeez.
So, it's like, wow. I don't know what.
What are some
thinking,
of the.
Like, maybe Bitcoin. Oh, go ahead.
I was just curious. I mean, I know, you know, in the past, before these sort of decentralized apps like Uber and Lyft or whatever, Uber Eats, I know, is Uber's version of this, and it's in test marketing. I think it's being test marketed in some cities. But prior to this, there were these, you know, local folks who would have agreements with certain restaurants around town, and you could call them up and say, hey, I want to get McDonald's or whatever, and they'd go out and they'd pick it up for you. So this is sort of the new 21st century version of that that service. What's yeah, how many of these apps are there? What are the best ones, especially if you are wanting to do the, you know, the working side of it, if you want to do the deliveries? What's your experience so far?
So there's a lot. I'd recommend Grubhub.
Grubhub.
That seems to be a pretty good one. Yeah, there's DoorDash, Postmates, but so those two, I've had mixed experiences with them. But one thing I noticed too, like if you go, some of these apps, you can go to like, let's say McDonald's or Chick-fil-A and pick up stuff for people. Mm-hmm. Those people almost never tip. So it's better to honestly to get the nicer restaurants. So find out which apps have the nicer restaurants in your area and then go with those because you're more likely to get a tip.
So you're getting paid per order regardless of whether someone tips though, right?
That's right. But if they don't tip, I'm only making like $7 an hour. And then, because I can only do 2 or 3 deliveries per hour, depending on. And sometimes
right, because you're not going to the same restaurant over and over again. You can't take multiple orders out of the same restaurant. You're going to one restaurant, picking up one order, and then going to the customer, right?
That's right. And I don't know. I guess, like, my opinion, if you can afford $50 of food, like, you should tip. Like,
well, yeah,
I don't think you should order the food unless you can tip.
Right, that's the old saying is if you can't afford to eat out if you can't afford to tip. And this is the same thing, basically. Now, what's the expected tip? I mean, is it 15%? What's a standard tip for the industry of delivering something?
I'd probably say 15% to 20%.
15% to 20%. Okay.
That's right.
I mean, because normally when you think of a 20% tip, you think of a good server at a restaurant being very attentive and coming back multiple times. I wouldn't have thought 20% on a delivery. I would have thought maybe 15 maximum.
I'd have thought maybe $2 or $3.
So you're saying a flat.
Yeah,
okay.
that's what it ends up being, because a lot of these orders are like $10. Because it's like usually it's a bachelor, you know, ordering something.
Like, and now I'm looking at the Grubhub site now, just looking at Phoenix, and they show you the minimum order required for different restaurants, and it shows you whether or not there is a delivery fee. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, there's a delivery fee, so therefore I don't have
to
tip.
That's the tip, yeah.
One thing, too, I found, so I would look up promo codes for these different apps, like while I'm doing them, and I give it to the person, like maybe $10 off or whatever. And I found that my tips always go up. So that's another trick I heard.
That makes sense. Yeah, if you can save your customer money,
yeah,
they're going to tip
you.
Yeah,
money. Yeah, even though they could go Google like these promo codes themselves, but
yeah, so people are lazy.
That's a little trick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Now I've heard you've been TJ called us a couple weeks ago, said you've been doing Ubers out there, that's been your thing. So, like, how's that been going?
I've been doing the deliveries a lot more. Honestly, I like it a little more because you don't have to deal with passengers. Mm. You know, you don't have to keep your car as clean.
Nobody's going to puke
that's
in the back.
The main thing with Uber. That's true. I did have some funny customers. This guy was like, "Have you ever heard of the Silk Road?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I sure have." And it's like, man, ever since they took that down, I don't know where to go now. And I was like, "Oh well, there's other websites you can go check out." And that's
That's awesome.
And like, I've definitely had a few drunks. And this one guy was like, he claimed he spent like $200 on the bar, and he was going to give me a huge tip, and he was like almost passing out in my back seat, and then he didn't even tip me.
Jeez.
So.
All right, man. Well, anything else you want to share tonight?
That's it. I guess my message to the world, like, tip your delivery people or they're not going to do it, honestly. Like, one thing I like about these apps, too, is I can see if they kind of what I'm expected to get. So, honestly, I just decided I'm going to start rejecting the ones I don't want to do.
Do you know in advance where the delivery address is, to where if it's been somebody who stiffed you before, you can just be like, yeah, no, I'm not taking that job?
No, and that's one of these problems. I don't know how to address that. I was thinking that something like Bitcoin would be so much nicer, because even if they disputed it with their credit card, I mean, it's like, well, we have your money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we did deliver the $100 of food, and now apparently, yeah, they're saying that they didn't get it.
Wow. Well, drive safe out there, James. Good to hear from you. Feel free to call back anytime with stories from the road. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, not technically a boondoggle, but
No, didn't have to be. It's Free Talk Live. You can call that anything. Thanks for the call tonight, man. Good to hear from you. Be safe out there. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Interesting. Yeah, I knew that Uber was experimenting with that, but I didn't know that there were other apps that were already doing food delivery. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
And, of course, I'm looking to see if it's available in Keene. There's a couple of restaurants listed here. I just don't know if delivery is available. Looks like it might be. Anyway, toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here and bring up whatever's on your mind. It's Ian, Johnny Ray, and Daryl. Coming back, we got more on government boondoggles, including this bullet train, $3.6 billion overrun in costs already, 50% higher than what they were expecting, and they're not even halfway done. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program. Of course, you're invited to join us right here, toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Daryl.
We've talked a lot, Daryl, you and I, about MyPillow here yes. on Free Talk Live. It's a great product, and you get a money-back guarantee up to 60 days, and then there's also a warranty on the product. That lasts 10 years. It's a great product, but you know, enough from us. We actually had one of our Free Talk Live amplifiers, Leah, who posted on the AMP forum earlier today, which is one of the perks you get if you become a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. You get access to interact with other Free Talk Live amplifiers and hosts of the show. And she writes the following. I bought a couple of MyPillow pillows on Friday. The kind of person who likes to manipulate my pillow. I like a smushy pillow that I can tuck into the crook of my neck. This is the perfect pillow for me. I've been sleeping very well, which is a plus because I often don't sleep at all. It's true that this is a very lumpy pillow, but once you get your head into a comfortable position, it seems to sort of solidify itself around your head, and then you don't want to move. I just thought I'd share my impression of the pillow. Individual results may vary, of course. And so she says that it's working for her. Now, if you get the MyPillow and you decide that it's not the best pillow you've ever owned, you can just send it back to them and they'll send you your purchase price back. And speaking of that purchase price, if you use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, over at MyPillow.com, that gets you one MyPillow at half price or two for the price of one. So it's up to you how many MyPillows you get. You can, by the way, wash and dry the MyPillow. It's really an amazing product for a pillow. You go to MyPillow.com, code FTL, like Free Talk Live, gets you the special offer.
Memory foam is a powerful sleeping agent.
I don't know if memory foam is in the MyPillow. I don't know if it's advertised as that. It does seem to have some sort of foam in it, but I don't know if it's memory foam.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, regardless of whether you like firm or soft, mm-hmm. You can get a MyPillow and use it to supplement. If you like a soft down pillow, you can get a MyPillow and it'll do what it does, and you can supplement it with something softer. And it's fantastic.
And there's different levels of fill available for the MyPillow, yes. So you can have different types.
She said it's much lighter and airy than she expected.
I happen to agree with that. That is something that I think is different about MyPillow than memory foam. Memory foam's got a real thick feel to
it. Thick, heavy.
Yeah. And this is not like that at all. It's right. like there's
you
little
pieces of foam.
You could
pillow fight with this and not right. concuss somebody.
That's a good point. So MyPillow.com, code FTL. Just wanted to give somebody, or you guys out there, some feedback from somebody who's not Ian and Daryl. All right, so let's go to your calls here. David is on the line in New Mexico. I think we've actually got a working connection with him this time. Go ahead, David. At least I thought we did. He was on there before, I swear to you, when I screened his call. All right, so anyway, continuing here, toll-free number 855-450-FREE. So we started out the show with just a little bit of information, and that sparked a large conversation about government building boondoggle projects, like this bullet train in California between Los Angeles and San Francisco, not even half the way done, with only about 118 miles of the 300-something that it's scheduled for, apparently. The Central Valley, it's apparently 118 miles through the Central Valley, is now estimated over cost at $3.6 billion in addition to what it was supposed to be. So it was supposed to be $6.4 billion. It's now looking at as much as $9.5 to $10 billion. And the problem involves, or the problems involve, management problems, significant delays in environmental planning, lags in processing invoices for federal grants, and continuing failures to acquire the needed property. According to the Los Angeles Times, they originally had anticipated completing this part of the track by this year, but now federal risk analysts estimate that that won't be happening until 2024, placing the project 7 years behind schedule. Incredible. The report, the most critical official assessment of the project to surface so far, is labeled a confidential draft deliberative document for internal use only and was presented by senior Federal Railroad Administration executives to California Rail Authority Board Chairman Dan Richard on December 1st in Washington. This analysis puts the state on notice that it could face bigger cost overruns than anticipated and much longer delays than have been made public, a troubling critique by an agency that has been a stalwart supporter and longtime financier of the nation's largest infrastructure project.
So I think, you know, the point here is government programs are almost always over budget and behind schedule.
Pretty much.
A bigger news story would be that a government project was finished sooner than what the projected schedule was and below cost.
So what you're saying is this is so common that it shouldn't even be news.
Yes.
But I think that, Daryl, it's still important for the news to cover these stories because there's always new people who, may not have heard about this before.
And it's one of those things of, you know, if somebody... let's say some producer or editor says, "Oh yeah, we've seen this story before. We're not going to cover that." Then somebody's going to say, "They're trying to hide that. They don't want you to know." Mm. So it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of things. But instead of, you know, asking people to call in with boondoggles that they're aware of, if you know of a government program that was finished on time and under budget, call in with that.
Yeah, I suspect our phone's going to be empty on that one.
I do know of exactly one.
Really?
I know of one. There was a interstate overpass on-ramp in Birmingham, Alabama, probably about a decade ago. A tractor trailer drove into the support beam and exploded, and it blew up the ramp. And the company that got contracted, they were told for each day under the time limit, or, you know, under, you've got X amount of time, for each day under that, you get X amount of a bonus.
You get a bonus, okay.
Anything past that, you pay us a fine.
Interesting.
They had people working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they came in at about half the time that they were given.
I had an idea similar to that once. I wanted to put on a play, and I thought I could take, I could compartmentalize the budgets for different things, and say to say for costumes, for example, and say, all right, I've got $2,000 that I'm willing to spend on these costumes, but I'm going to give you my, I'm going to give my costume master 10% of whatever is left of that $2,000 by the end of the production.
Right, so they have the incentive to be, pinch a few pennies. Be frugal. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. They go on here and they interview some different bureaucrats and people disagree about how much it's going to cost and so on and so forth. Other recent documents paint a dark picture of California's ambitious transportation project and helps explain some of the performance problems. Audit reports last year found that the Rail Authority lacks consistent management processes, takes on unnecessary contract risks, and doesn't have orderly records, and is short on clearly defined responsibility for its top officials. An internal report obtained by the Times notes a just-completed survey in which employees complained that morale is low and has declined in each of the last 3 years. Employees interviewed by the Times say turnover is consistently high, leaving staff overworked. The Rail Authority's senior deputy, its chief administrative officer, and its top information technology executive recently left. So it can be hard to continue a long-term project when no one working on the project has any memory of when it started because they've not worked there very long. It's Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the program. As always, you may join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We did have a gentleman call in earlier tonight. He was asking about moving to New Hampshire, this migration of liberty-minded people that are coming here for various different reasons. There's the Free State Project that he mentioned. There's also the Shire Society. And there's just people who don't like joining things. They'll come here too, because people who care about freedom are here in New Hampshire. Thousands of them have already gathered here, and thousands more are pledged to come here. If you want to learn why it's so attractive to libertarians and voluntarists and liberty-loving anarchists, then I would recommend the hour-long documentary 101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. You go to 101reasonsfilm.com. You can watch it there. It's available free on YouTube. Again, 101reasonsfilm.com. If you consider yourself to be a liberty-minded person and you're willing to actually do something to achieve some semblance of freedom in your lifetime, then it's probably the best choice. Go to 101reasonsfilm.com and check it out. As we continue here, we've got last try here. Third time, better be the charm. David in New Mexico on the phones this time. Go ahead.
Well, you'll be the judge. Is it the charm? Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Go ahead.
Good, yeah. Skype ought to be paying me for doing troubleshooting on how their app interacts with other apps. Anyway, fun stuff first. The Sorry, it went through so much. I lost my train of thought.
Notes help when you're calling talk radio. Then trains will not be lost.
Yeah.
You want the trains of thought to run on time, after all.
But yes, if you pull the lever, then the train goes onto another track and then runs over fewer people.
Oh, no, let's not go there. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Yeah, well, one fun thing, he had a caller talking about the rich people not tipping very well, which is obviously true in his case. The man who was the richest man in the world for 3 years once tipped me, and he tipped me $55 on a $95 bill.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. So who's this?
That was Carlos Slim.
Don't know.
Or in Mexico, the guy that met with Trump the other day. He runs all the phones, the cell phones and landlines and stuff. That's his company, Telmex, I think it's called.
Oh, wow.
In Mexico, and he's got, all kinds of other companies too, but that's his big one. I knew him back when he was worth a mere $8 billion, and now he's worth like $80 billion. And another funny thing, you're mentioning The Simpsons earlier, Matt Groening. I was a body double for the character that played Matt Groening in a movie one time called Friendship, which is actually a really good movie. It's a German movie, but it was filmed here in the States, and it's really funny, actually. Friendship.
Now, body double, that's different from a stuntman, right?
Yeah. Well, a stuntman could be both. A body double. There's stand-in, and there is body double or double. And there's stuntman, and stuntman obviously is doing stunts, and he's technically also a body double because he's doubling for the actor that's not doing his own stunt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's while the cameras are rolling, and so you're actually seen on screen, whereas a stand-in, just when the cameras aren't, well the cameras are running, but you're not going to be seen on screen. You're just somebody who approximates the characteristics of the actor. And so that they don't have to stand there for hours on end between their scenes, you fill that space so lighting can get the right lighting adjustments and all this other, and the cameras can get everything set up.
So the body double is like somebody who isn't a stunt person but will be shot from like behind to where you can't see their face, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can't tell it's not the actor, so you're not seeing their face or whatever.
So that way they don't have to pay... they don't have to pay Al Pacino, $1 billion. They can just bring in some kid that looks like him or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, And on here's an entertaining one you'll find entertaining. Sarah got me thinking one day, and so I came up while thinking about that, I came up with some alternate names for Albuquerque Rapid Transit, and the second one's especially good, but the first one I came up with is Albuquerque Ratchet Transit, which can come in handy for the types that fit it. But the second one is Albuquerque, instead of Albuquerque Rapid Transit, that's Albuquerque Vapid Transit.
That's cute,
and that works well for other characters.
How bad is it down there? People have been. We had one lady call in earlier saying they have just torn up Route 66. That businesses are basically shut down. They can't get business in the door because of all the construction. Is it an absolute nightmare trying to drive down there?
Well, I wouldn't say it's an absolute nightmare, but first of all, I have not even been in Albuquerque since they've done that. But listening to the radio every day, I really don't hear a whole lot of people complaining about it, other than at certain times. Yes, they're definitely, when the day that they first started work, the first few days, I definitely heard people complaining about the extremely long traffic jams in the area where they were working. So apparently there is, but after the first few days, I haven't heard much report of it on the radio.
Well, it doesn't mean people aren't mad. It just means that they're not getting through, or the board ops are screening out their calls because they're sick and tired of hearing people complaining. I mean, if it's that much of an imposition, they probably are getting complaints, but that doesn't necessarily make for good radio.
That was Mayor Barry, Richard Barry. That's his baby. You were talking about earlier about the bond thing, how they can pretty much they don't need the public's approval, the citizens' approval, to do the management. The mayor and his staff decide whether or not they're going to do it, and they decided to do it. One interesting dot that I wanted to connect on that subject that I mentioned to you before, but you can get a better picture of how Mayor Barry and his staff operate, is that I would call the mayor's office. I don't know, probably when I was calling often, I would call there two, at most three times in a week to ask something or criticize something or try to be helpful about something in the city, two or three times in a week. And the mayor's staff, which included his APD bodyguard, actually gave me an order not to call his office anymore for any of that kind of stuff, even though I had behaved 100% professionally. I was speaking to them like I'm speaking to you.
Yeah, they're just tired of hearing your ideas. They got their own ideas, and they're not interested in putting up any airs of pretending like they're interested anymore, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and here's a good example of what I called about one time at the mayor's office. There was a speeding van, like you're talking about. Sarah brought it up, I believe, another time. But this was a speeding van. It was automatic cameras in it. Mm-hmm. But it happened to have an officer sitting in it. And they parked it in a spot on a freeway exit where the speed limit was technically 45. But coming off the freeway at 75, which is everybody was legally going, you could not go from 75 to 45 in a safe manner. You really had to slam on your brakes, and it was an unsafe thing. So consequently, nobody coming off the ramp was making that speed, and every single literally like 9 out of 10 vehicles that went off the freeway at that ramp were getting their picture taken and the ticket sent to them.
Jeez.
and they got me, and I stopped the car, I walked back, I talked to the cop, and after talking to him, I went directly to the mayor's office and complained about it. And a few other people called, and so with that activism, they actually there were literally thousands of tickets that van had generated for the city of Albuquerque's revenue in a period of a couple hours. I was the only person that went there in person to the mayor's office. That, combined with the other phone calls that they got, they threw out every single one of those thousands of tickets.
How do you know
that? Because I followed up with the mayor's office. I said, I want to know, this is an official inquiry, I want to know what the resolution of these complaints are.
Interesting.
And they came back. Yeah, and they came back. I don't know if it was the same day or if
good for you on that, David. And thank you for the call and telling the story tonight. I appreciate that. We had a similar situation the other day in Concord where I got a ticket. The car that we were up there in got a ticket, and we were parked in a not parked in a no parking zone, but they said that we were in a no parking zone, even though there was no signage up whatsoever. There were no parking signs down the street, but the parking signs that we were in front of did not have those no parking signs on them. I called up, threatened them with going to court. They dropped the charge, and then the next day,
quickly,
they put up the signs. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, and of course you can join us here, live Sunday edition, continuing your calls welcome about whatever's on your mind. We have been talking about the latest government boondoggle. This one is out in California, supposed to be a bullet train that's connecting Los Angeles with San Francisco. They're not even 120 miles through the track yet, and they are already 50% over their estimated costs just for the portion of the track that they've done. So who knows how further this thing is going to go beyond its initial intentions. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Daryl.
According to the Los Angeles Times, about 80% of all bullet train systems incur massive overruns in their construction. That, according to an infrastructure risk expert at the University of Oxford, Brent Flyberg, who has studied such rail projects all over the world. Gee, what do you know? Governments in other countries are also inefficient and bad at getting things done. It must be a problem with their incentives.
The common denominator here is government.
Government, yeah. One of the biggest hazards of these mega projects is a government agency that is attempting to do something highly complex for the first time. The California system is being built by an independent authority that has never built anything and depends on a large network of consultants and contractors for advice.
Hold on. I'm not going to agree here that this independent authority never built anything. They wound up building themselves after convincing some legislators to create this authority to entrust them with billions of dollars.
Daryl, it's one thing to build a something on paper, which is all that the authority is. It's just a organizational structure. It's one thing to figure all that out. Government bureaucrats are good at shuffling papers.
Oh, they've not overseen construction of anything,
right.
But they definitely, built a house of cards, if you will.
That much is true. Engineering and construction experts have warned that early cost and schedule problems will be difficult to reverse, and that early cost increases will likely drive up the final cost of the project. And, the thing is here, they're giving what is a good reason why anyone would have trouble building something if they've never built something before? That's probably true. But again, they're ignoring the real factors here, and that is that governments have no competition, and so therefore they have no incentives to get things done in any decent amount of time or in any affordable amount of cost.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
All right, sure.
Because this is something that people tell us all the time. Ian, governments do have competition. If you don't like the government where you live, you can move to another government. So they're competing for your tax dollars. But you just have to physically move yourself. So there is competition.
At some level, that's a true statement. That is true. I mean, some states, for instance, are more fiscally sound than others. You look at California, Michigan, Illinois. These are some of the worst off
New York
states in, as far as budget deficits and billions of dollars in the red and things like that. And then, did New Hampshire have a budget cut? A few years ago, they actually managed to slice the budget down a little bit.
They had like a 10% budget cut several years ago.
Not all states are created equal, but the fact is what you're pointing out about, you could just move. Yeah, you could. But that doesn't really have, in my opinion, that much of an effect on the efficiency factor of these governments because they know most people aren't going to move.
Right. And again, this goes back to something we were talking about last night of the hypocrisy of the people that say, if you don't like it, leave, while simultaneously saying people shouldn't come to the United States. They should stay where they are and try to change
it. Yeah. In this case, they know inherently that they've got mostly a population that's going to stay in place. Their family lives where they live. They've lived where they live. You know, they've got a job or a career where they are. People are just going to stay put. I mean, we've seen it with the Liberty Movement.
Yeah.
Most libertarians, if they're aware of the migration to New Hampshire, they're just not interested in going anywhere. It's a lot easier to stay where you are.
Right. And remember,
even though it's a lot freer here.
We had the caller that called in a couple of weeks ago that was griping and complaining about how horrible California is.
Oh, yeah.
And when we suggested, he said, my family's been here for seven effing generations.
And he likes to surf. Was it that guy, the surf dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had to dump him because he, you know, dropped the F-bomb right in the middle of explaining why he's staying in a place that he hates.
Yeah. Ian, I agree that what Daryl said while he was playing devil's advocate is a true statement. But if you consider the kind of freedom that is afforded by real, honest-to-God freedom, where nobody is presumes to be your ruler in any way, not the masses, not the king, not the president, the kind of freedom that you get there is similar to what we see in our choice of grocery stores here where we live. There's three major chains, a number of smaller ones that we can choose from, and we can just choose to stop doing business completely with one of them and start doing business with somewhere else
without having to.
We don't
go
have
any
to
significant
stakes and move.
Distance.
Nothing like that.
You might have to drive a little further to the other store, but that's about it.
Right, and we can and my home, I left my home, the place that I grew up in, and that
Asheville,
was my home,
North Carolina.
Then. Yeah, Asheville.
Where we're on the air tonight. Hello,
right.
WWNC.
Asheville is my home. The government didn't give me my birthplace.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to me by God and my family, and the choice that if you don't like it, leave it. That is the choice I took, but
right.
I'm not happy with it.
Wait a minute. You're not happy with it.
I thought
you liked your life here.
I do. And I like you guys, and I like the Granite State, and
yeah.
I like the
You didn't like that you felt like you had to leave, you mean?
The income tax regime in the state of North Carolina was very obnoxious to me,
mm-hmm.
and I left, and I'm not going back.
So you don't miss that aspect of it, is what
no,
you're saying.
Right. But it'll always be my birthplace.
Sure.
Wait a minute.
So yes, what do you miss about North Carolina?
I miss the accent.
Is that right?
Yeah. Asheville is an interesting cosmopolitan place with a lot of...
It's kind
of
hippie, right?
With a lot of hippies, a lot of rednecks. I was going to say...
Sounds like Keene.
It's similar in many ways.
Yeah.
Keene is like... It's like a mountain town with the coast some miles away. New Hampshire and North Carolina are both Atlantic states.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the beach there, but it's New Hampshire is sort of like if you took North Carolina and just compressed it and squeezed it together.
I see.
You see, sometimes I've seen seagulls here in Keene. It's
been
right? a while since I've seen that, but I've seen it before. Anyway, so whatever point it was that I was going to make, I made it.
Barbecue. That's what you miss.
Barbecue.
Yeah, like
it's difficult
salt
to
and
get
vinegar,
good
Eastern
barbecue in New Hampshire.
Well, there aren't enough black people here, and you know, I'm sorry, but the best barbecue I've ever had is has been served on the side of the road in Florida by some black folks at a church. And
that reminds me, you still need to talk to Mark about going to the...
He did go.
Right, but he did not send us the barbecue.
No, dude,
I don't want
barbecue that's been sitting on ice for however long.
I'm gonna let you finish, but speaking of barbecue,
yeah.
The president's favorite barbecue is in Asheville, North Carolina.
But this president, Barack Obama.
Right, I'm pretty sure it's made by white people.
But
just FYI.
I don't know about that.
I'm just saying the next time you talk to Mark, have him ship us some barbecue.
No, I'm not going to. You talk to him about that if that's what you want. I don't want to have barbecue that's not fresh off the grill.
Off the hog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fresh out of the what is it? What do they call that?
The spit.
Spit. Cooker? No. There's a term for that.
Smoker.
There's several different
ways that you can do it.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can,
see, I know nothing about barbecue.
You can cook it on
like
a smoker.
It.
You can cook it on a spit. You can
cook it in the ground.
Okay. Cool.
Got a pig in the ground and beer on ice. All my ratty friends are coming over tonight.
I'm not interested in that personally. And there's been some okay barbecue up this way. There was Hot Hogs where we had on
that
Christmas
was really
Eve.
Good, but they're not open until
that's true.
You know, it's above freezing consistently.
All right. So toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Look, we can continue telling you about the boondoggle here because there is more, but we'll just post the full article over on the Facebook and Twitter page.
We could also talk about the Great Northern Railway, which was a privately funded, successfully built railroad.
Way back in the day, right?
Way back in the day, yeah.
All right.
What about the Polar Express?
That's fictional.
Is that a book? That's a book, right? A movie and a book, I believe.
Yes.
We could tell you more about that, but again, there's a lot more detail here. We'll put it up on the Free Talk Live Facebook, the Free Talk Live Twitter. You can go to facebook.freetalklive.com or twitter.freetalklive.com to find those pages easily. That saves you from having to search around. And also, still to come, hour number three is on the way. We've got to get into economics in one lesson since we've been talking about things economic here tonight. We got chapter 11 coming up here, which is actually a pretty long chapter. It was almost 10 pages long. It's called Who's Protected by Tariffs? And it's a pretty good chapter until the very end, where there's a major disappointment. We'll explain coming up here. Free Talk Live. There are lots of ways to listen to Free Talk Live. Our podcast has been around since podcasts began, and now the FTL feed is loaded with content besides our full show archives. Did you know that we make it easy for you to customize your podcast subscriptions? We have different feeds, one that includes only our full shows, one with just the Daily Digest, and one with just the Edgington Post. You decide what you listen to. It's quick and easy to customize your feeds at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the program. As always, open phones for you to take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
We're going to jump in here in a moment to chapter 11 in the book Economics in One Lesson. We're not reading the chapters, we're just discussing the content therein. The book is written by Henry Hazlitt. It is free online for those who would like to read along with us.
That's how I'm reading.
And even though we're on chapter 11, we're only not even quite halfway through the book. It is just over 200 pages. We're on page 74, at least in this edition. It's probably slightly
74
different.
74 on my edition as well.
Slightly different. I know, Johnny Ray, you and I have slightly different versions of the book, originally published in the 1940s.
I do have a question. When we finish this book...
Yeah.
What will we do for Free Talk Live Book Club afterwards?
I don't know. Maybe we should arbitrarily pick something, or maybe ask the amplifiers for suggestions or something like that.
Maybe we could find a book that is satisfying to us, that doesn't disappoint us like Henry Hazlitt keeps
doing.
He
has been a little disappointing here and there. I mean, the economics have been pretty straight up, right? Like, he's got that right. But then he'll do what he does in this chapter and sort of negate everything he said at the very last moment. So, well, let's get into that here in a moment.
I'm wondering, and I'm thinking off the top of my head
thinking,
here.
I'm thinking Rothbard to answer your question from before, Daryl.
I'm actually thinking Healing Our World.
Oh, that's a classic, sure. But should it be something that we're not familiar with? I mean,
well, there is the fourth edition that is new.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let's go to your calls and thoughts here, because we're still a ways from having to make that decision at this point. I don't know how many chapters there are in this book. Let's see. Looks like 25 or so, 26, 25. Sarah in Albuquerque, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah.
Yes, this is a cure for cancer, and it's calcium. And they have known about this since the 1950s, but obviously they kept it a secret. They don't put it out because they want people to have cancer.
Well, this is the same thing she called in about on Thursday, where she was saying that people should go buy the book by Dr. Barefoot, because if they buy Dr. Barefoot's products, then they're not buying the pharmaceutical products, and then the pharmaceuticals don't make money, but Dr. Barefoot does.
Now, are you getting a cut from Dr. Barefoot, Sarah, to promote, to pimp his products on the radio?
Oh, no. You know what? I'm on SSI. I'm not allowed to make any money. They'll throw me off my check, I don't want to get cut off.
So you're you're just an unpaid pimp for somebody else's products?
Well, the only thing that he's really pushing is coral calcium from Okinawa, Japan.
Now, wait a minute. You said that they are trying to keep this information about calcium curing cancer quiet, but you didn't really say who they is. Who is they?
Well, the capitalist. You know,
the capitalist. But wait, aren't capitalists out there making calcium too?
But the thing is...
Who is it that's making the calcium out there? Because there's like tablets or whatever, pills, supplements that you can get. You can also buy milk that's got calcium in it. And like the milk producers are frequently advertising how their product has calcium in it. And that's like good for your bones or whatever. Don't you think that if calcium cured cancer, and I'm not saying it doesn't. I don't know. I've never researched this. But don't you think that if there was some findings that calcium cured cancer, that maybe the milk industry and those dirty capitalists would be promoting that?
Well, the pharmaceuticals are multi-billion giant corporations, and
what you're saying is people that make the companies that make supplements are not mega corporations as well?
Right, because the drug companies have always, every year, they try to drive them out of business. You know,
who
they
tries
have,
to
they
drive who out of business? You can't
just
say
the pharmaceutical companies are trying to drive out the vitamin companies.
Right, right. That's correct. They have done it. They have tried the herbalist. They have tried to run them out many, many times, try to make it illegal. You have to get a prescription to get herbs. They have tried over and
That's
over.
That's true. I think there have been some pushes for like more government regulation of supplements and things like that.
I think it's been more about the claims of supplements, mm-hmm. not the actual supplements. Because when you start saying that something cures something, then, you know, that's where the FDA comes in. In my hand right now, listeners at home or in your car, wherever you are,
water.
I have a bottle of water. Water cures dehydration.
Sure does.
That is a claim that it's backed by science, but because I am not a doctor, if I try to sell you water and put on the label cures dehydration, the FDA will come and shut me down. That's not the FDA trying to suppress knowledge that water cures dehydration.
It may also keep you alive. In fact, odds are good that water will
and
keep
now,
you from dying.
Go ahead, Sarah.
The science behind it is that, like I explained to Daryl a couple of days ago, is that calcium, it needs an acidic environment. Our pH in our stomach is 3. But once it is absorbed, our pH in the rest of our body is 7.2, which is alkaline. And once we bring alkaline into our tissues and our body, what happens is that it brings in the oxygen. And when our body is saturated with oxygen, it melts away. It destroys the cancer cell growth. It cannot thrive.
Well, one thing's for sure, I don't take my medical advice from callers to radio shows, especially ones that have been proven wrong on so many occasions as you have, Sarah. So you'll have to forgive me for being a skeptic.
If you attempt to change the alkalinity of your body past 7.45, which is the upper limit, then your body's going to work really hard to maintain between 7.35 and 7.45. So, you can take all the supplements you want to try to alkaline your body, but your body's just going to work harder to stay in that margin. Now, it is true that, there are things that you can do to make your body not have to work as hard to maintain that 7.35 to 7.45, but eating large amounts of calcium could also have negative side effects. There are things called calcium deposits, to where you just grow like extra chunks of bone.
Whoa.
Yeah, so calcium is not the cure-all for everything.
What do you think about that, Sarah?
I'm looking at 1,500 milligrams. That's the what's recommended dosage.
1,500, so 1,500 milligrams. Now, you're looking at it, so are you taking this, you're taking calcium supplements?
Well, I take it, but I want to tell you, there was a guy that had an injection, one injection, and what it did is it brought the oxygen, it must be an alkaline formula, and it brought the oxygen into the body, and it cured cancer, like, in 2 days.
Now, where are you getting this information? Because we know that you don't have internet. You're not really sure how to use Google.
The late night show, late night show.
Overnight talk radio. You better watch out, Sarah, because you can't believe what those people say.
Well, I mean, he got run out of Brazil. He's hiding out with his life because they want him dead. You know,
now, who is it that wants him dead there in Brazil? Who's they? You keep using the term they, and I just want to know who you're talking about.
The pharmaceutical
companies.
That make money. Well,
that's an interesting story.
He has the one cure, and they want him dead and buried along with
what makes you think there's only one cure for cancer?
Well, but that's one of them. That's the formula. That's what it says.
How do you know they're not going to come after you next? I mean, if you think about it, you're calling in talk radio. You're kind of this guy's, you know, puppet, basically. He's having you do these things for him, or you're just doing them because you feel like it or whatever. I don't know what your arrangement is with this guy. But you don't think that they are out there listening to you right now, Sarah, trying to find out where you live? They already know that you're on SSI.
Well, you know,
you don't think that they have access to the government's files of SSI recipients and can start looking up all the Sarahs in Albuquerque who are receiving the government funds? You don't think they can do that?
The whole thing about it is that, listen, I don't have the formula. I don't know who this guy is. I do not have the exact formula.
What if they try to torture it out of you? Then what's going to happen?
Well, the thing is, I never met the guy. I don't know what his name is.
You better watch out. You know, they could be anywhere. Thanks for the call, Sarah. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
She'll just make up answers like she makes up half of the facts that she uses when she calls here.
All right, so more coming up here in moments. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever you want. It is the live Sunday edition. And you know what? Try to call with something different. Apparently, she's done this now 2 weeks in a row where on Thursday and Sunday night, she's called with the exact same topic. Come on. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Live Sunday edition of the program. You can join us right here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Still to come here if we get the chance. I hope we will, because it's an interesting book, Economics in One Lesson. We got Chapter 11 on deck. Got to discuss that here as we continue the Johnny Ray Book Club, where Daryl and I are participating along, maybe with some of you out there who are reading this book, which is free to read. And we were talking earlier about, well, what do we do after we're done with Economics in One Lesson? One of the nice things about this book is it is free to read. So we're not requiring anybody else out there who wants to join us to buy a book. So maybe we should stick to free stuff that can be acquired on the internet.
That's a good point.
Yeah, good point.
It's not hard to find.
Yeah, I know that Mises or whatever has a whole bunch of free books.
Yes.
And there's probably some other ones out there that, you know, we're not aware of. And who's to say we have to read books about freedom? Maybe, you know, we could read, you know, not so freedom books and critique them or something like that. I don't know. Just throwing ideas out
there. What were you thinking?
I have no idea.
Das Kapital, Mein Kampf.
They're probably terrible reads, too, those books.
Or and Leviathan, maybe. Wasn't Leviathan kind of a defense of the state?
I don't know.
The Epic of Gilgamesh.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. We got time to figure this out. And of course, your suggestions, of course, weigh heavily, especially if you're a Free Talk Live amplifier, which you can become by going to amp.freetalklive.com. Go to ampamp.freetalklive.com and sign up there for as little as $5 per month. It's money that we invest into the show to help us get on new radio stations, which we've, like, just in the last 2 weeks added several, at least five, if not seven. I'm losing track. There's been so many of them. A bunch of new stations. And it's, well, first of all, thanks to the end of the year where a bunch of shows in syndication lost their syndication contracts. And so we sort of swoop in like a vulture and pick off as many of the radio stations as we possibly can. So that's been helpful.
And when you say it that way, it just sounds horrible.
It makes me hungry for eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we are the radio vulture, basically, Free Talk Live. I mean, that's pretty much how we grow our affiliate bases. Whenever stations or whenever syndicated shows die off, we're still there because we're, you know, one of the longest running shows now, and we're still one of the youngest shows in syndication as well.
Aren't we the longest running show in our time slot?
That is the true statement now. Just if you look at 7 to 10 Eastern time, that is absolutely true since Hugh Hewitt left and moved to mornings. That left Free Talk Live. If you look at Mark Levin, who has also been at this time slot, basically he's like 6 to 9 Eastern time is his time. He's been around for a while, but I believe that we started doing our show before he got syndicated, I think. So even though we weren't syndicated, Free Talk Live was still on in this time slot when we were a local show. So technically, Free Talk Live has been around in the same time slot for longer than LiveIn. I believe he may have been in syndication for slightly longer, but it's been a while since I've looked at the numbers. But yeah, so even though we're like one of the youngest shows in the syndicated talk business, as far as ages of the hosts go, right, we've actually been around for quite a while. So let's go to the phones and to your calls and thoughts all the way to Evansville, Indiana, where Larry is on the line listening to WGBF. Hey, Larry.
Hello.
Hey there. What's
Thank
on your mind?
Taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to revisit something you talked about the other day, and that was immigration.
Yeah, of course.
And I have a hard time coming to grips with what you're saying about letting anybody in the United States. And you also mentioned Europe. Let me ask a question. Maybe you can explain it to me then. Why did Germany allow so many individuals in the Middle East into Germany?
Why did Germany allow so many Middle Eastern individuals into Germany?
I think it's because the U.S. told them they had to, and so they...
Actually, it wasn't. It was because their birth rate was getting down to the point where they would not be able to sustain their own workforce with the German population.
Right, so they welcomed refugees into the country.
That's right. And what happened there then is exactly what happened there, as we all know. Now they're dealing with problems like that. It's not that
everybody... what happened there? You kind of glossed over something. You said, as we all know. What is it that we all know about what happened there?
Well, now they're dealing with a lot of terrorist attacks in Germany, as they have been in other areas in the EU. Correct?
I don't know, honestly. I'm not following German news.
Okay. In any event, they are, and they have been now for a while, having increasing problems with individuals acting out and killing people and doing things like that. And those individuals, granted that not all people that they let in are terrorists, you know. But here's the thing. We can't guarantee that 1%, less than 1%, and what is a tolerable level? And then if they do come into our country like they have, and with the problems that France has been dealing with, that Germany has been dealing with, concerning terrorist attacks, then we get into a reactive mode, don't we, instead of being proactive about that? And concerning, and you mentioned the other night, too, about vetting those people. How do we vet people who don't even have birth certificates?
Oh, I don't advocate vetting anybody.
Oh, okay.
I would say let people in.
Here's the question. How many people that may be coming from the Middle East, particularly Syria and maybe Iraq and some of the other countries over there, that are that 18 to 25-year-old group, how many people can you say are or are not or will not act out in a terrorist way here in the United States? The only correct answer is I don't know.
No, you don't know. And my point to you, Larry, would be that if you look to the U.S. immigration services to protect you from the bad people around the world, they're going to disappoint you every time. And instead, you should be fighting for the freedom to associate with whoever you want to or don't want to. You need to have control over your own property and your own business. And what happens at the borders, that doesn't concern you as much as you think it does. You've lost control over your own life, and so you're struggling to control other people's lives to regain a sense of security. But since you can't let's say, for example, somebody feels like Muslims are more dangerous than European Christians, you can make a plausible argument for that. But the solution for that person would be to make changes in their own life that make themselves safer. But the government in the U.S. doesn't allow you to, say, keep Muslims out of your place of business because they don't allow you to discriminate. I caution you not to support someone who would put up walls around our country because goodness and badness does not have a whole lot to do with where you're born, but has a lot to do with how you're raised. And
exactly.
And you need more control over your own life, and you shouldn't try to control others to make you feel safe.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. How many generations of those of any individual that is born into, trained as a child with the purpose of coming to another country?
Well, hold that thought, Larry. I think it's an interesting discussion. If you want to hang, we'll continue it with you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. I'm going to hear a lot of fear in where Larry's coming from. And that's, of course, what the government wants you to feel. They want you to be afraid, so you look to them for protection. Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org. Hey, it's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday show. You can dial in toll-free and take control of these airwaves here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking, and Larry did hang on, so we're going to bring him back here in a moment. We're talking about immigration with him, plus we've got economics in one lesson still on deck if we get a chance to get to it. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Daryl.
Also, you can get your online shopping done by going to shop.freetalklive.com and entering Amazon through the links you'll find there. So if you like Free Talk Live, you appreciate the work that we do here, and you want to help us, then please go to shop.freetalklive.com before you go to Amazon. Then click into the links that you'll find there. There's Amazon UK, Canada, US. Click into the right Amazon for you, get your shopping taken care of, and Free Talk Live gets a cut of the purchase price. It's the same great Amazon with the same super saver shipping deals and Prime and, you know, all the great prices and reviews that you're used to. It's just that a cut of Amazon sales. Go to Free Talk Live when you go through shop.freetalklive.com. We're talking about the boogeyman of the terrorists, which, of course, is the latest government boogeyman. It used to be drug dealers and communists before that, and now it's the terrorists. And, of course, they always have to have some sort of enemy out there in Yes. order to distract you from the fact that the real terrorists, the ones that are really attacking you on a daily basis, are the government agents themselves. They're the ones who are out there killing innocent people with over, 1,000 people in 2016 alone killed by government police.
I believe it was over 1,100.
Yeah, in the United States, just in that one-year time frame. You've got those individual killings, of course. You've got the tremendous amount of taxation and regressive regulations that are putting burdens on businesses, where if you don't follow those regulations, men with guns will come and they will hold you at gunpoint if you don't do what it is that they say and if you don't pay what it is that they say. I mean, Larry, I'm being terrorized by the government. Who's going to save me from them?
Well, we seem to take a turn on this conversation, so let me deal with the immigration first.
Sure.
I'm a firm, you said, I'm afraid. Now, one, I'm a firm believer in the old saying that if not for myself, who will be? If not for others, then who are we? But that's why, and you might want to cut me off here, but that's why I don't agree with the, I'll go back to the Vietnam. That's when I volunteered to enter the service and didn't retire until 1994. I agreed with the reason we were there. I didn't agree with the prosecution of the conflict. Okay, just like I agree that when we have terrorists entering our country, which we have, we've had them inside of our own military, what we called it workplace violence, that irregardless if it's 1% or 0.5% of any individuals coming to this nation want to do damage to our nation. It involves national security.
So let me ask this question, Larry, because there are a lot of criminals that are born in this country every single day. I'm looking at the murder rate in Chicago. There were 762 people killed in Chicago last year. Should Trump build a wall around Chicago and prevent people from leaving Chicago because there's bad people that are born and raised in Chicago?
No, not at all. And when
so
I think,
why is it different?
Well over 700 murders there this year, or this in 2016. You're correct. Okay, but in the same token, I look at the oppression of government as well. But I see an avenue to make those corrections. But let me address your specific question here about that wall. No, not at all. But when in this case now, and it has been in the past with Republicans as well. But in this case, with the current administration, now they've come down with a DOJ investigation of the police department. They want to nationalize the police department because they say that they require training. Well, that's from the federal government. So I agree with you there. There's too much oppression.
Well, I do think that the police should be trained to not shoot people and not to kill animals randomly.
But you don't agree with nationalizing the police.
No, and that's not at all what has been in the DOJ report. They've just said there needs to be oversight when the police violate civil rights.
Okay, but...
Right, and President Obama has come out and said that they need training.
Yes, they need to be trained to not kill people and not shoot their dogs.
So you think that national federal assistance is going to be good for the city of Chicago and their police force?
No, I do not.
I think that police need to be trained to not kill people.
For the journey and not, right. I firmly believe that it's always better to, not in a sense of tell them what to do, but prepare people for the journey instead of preparing the journey for the people. And that's what the federal government has been doing, is preparing the journey for the people. It used to be called a welfare state. It used to be called generational welfare. Now it's simply government dependency. You're correct in all those things. But now we're getting skewed off of national defense.
All right. Let's come back around to this question of, you mentioned 0.5%, 1%. You know, you don't know how many bad guys are coming in through the border. So therefore, the fear that there are some bad people who would come here is the justification that you're using to support a police state. Isn't that correct?
Immigration is a national security issue.
I do not support a police state. I do not. But to be proactive and fight that, and I'll...
All right. How do you do that without a police state? Can you explain that to me?
Sure. Number one, you'd be proactive as to where the terrorists are coming from. And I'm not saying not to allow all Islamic people in here, but we must. I'm sure you agree with me that radical Islamic terrorism is not only to control the Middle East, but is to destroy our country. So do we wait to be reactive
the
here?
Odds
or
that
do we
anyone
be proactive?
The odds that anyone who's an Islamic terrorist is going to attack the United States and kill you or I is incredibly slim. It's much more higher likelihood that you'll be killed by a police officer than an Islamic terrorist. So if you want to talk about legitimate fears, if you want to talk about, you know, an actual terrorist that's attacking us on a daily basis, that would be the federal and state and local governments. Those people are threatening our lives, they're threatening our families, they're threatening our freedoms on a daily basis, and yet you're the one who's turning to them to keep you safe from people who the odds are never going to be able to strike you in any way, shape, or form, and further, wouldn't be interested in attacking the United States if it weren't for the U.S. military and their meddling over in the Middle East.
Well, I'll agree with you on something there, and that is that we should never have gone into Iraq.
Okay, good.
I was deployed. Yeah, I was deployed in the first Gulf War in 1990. Okay. And then asked to return out of retirement.
Wow.
In 2003. Here's the thing. We should never have gone in there. I'm in perfectly agreement with you.
Okay, good. So we're on the same page there.
Because wars are not generated by you and I. Wars are generated by the politicians.
Sure.
I absolutely agree with you.
And okay? They are people who are in search of power over others, and they're willing to put innocent people in harm's way in order to acquire more power for themselves and their buddies. Now, look, you mentioned this being proactive thing, Larry, and we're short on time here, but you mentioned being proactive. And to me, you know, if you've got people coming in here that you want to ferret out, then that's going to require some sort of enforcement. And that means a police state. That means checkpoints. That means checking your papers here in the United States.
We check our papers every time we want to check out a movie. Okay, I'm not justifying that. I'm just saying to say it's required in one, not required in another is to me ludicrous. But
that doesn't make any sense
because
to me.
Blockbuster will ask for an ID.
They're closed. Well, they went out of business.
The papers. Okay, you stop by a car. Let me see your papers, driver's license, registration, and proof.
Yeah, and I'm not okay with any of that.
So you're justifying
more checkpoints because, well, we've already have a driver's license, so we might as well have more checkpoints, is what you're saying. That you're calling for a police state.
No, I'm talking about being proactive.
Yeah, that's your terminology. That's the euphemism that you're using to cover up that you're calling for a police state. Now, maybe you, when you hear the term police state, don't want to admit to it. Well, then call in another night, Larry, and let's talk about that. I appreciate your call here. We got to move on to some other folks here, but I appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you, Brad.
Yes, sir. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Being proactive with the government, there's only one area of government that is proactive in a way of enforcing a law, and that would be the law enforcement
department. It's not a police state when we do it.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free here and take control of the airwaves. The number is 855-450-FREE. Moments remain here in this live Sunday edition of the program. But if you don't get in to join us, that's okay. We do a live show 7 nights a week. Even if we're not on your local radio station all 7 of those nights, we're still here doing a show. So you can always join us. And of course, you can listen online anytime you want. Just go to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have for you on the website completely free. And once again, please join the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. If you like what we're doing here on Free Talk Live, please remember there is no other show doing what we're doing, talking about the ideas of liberty 7 nights a week, like we're doing at this level. There's another good show called Freedom Fiends. They unfortunately do not have quite as many of the affiliates as we do. We've been at this much longer. And Daryl, you were checking the dates. Apparently, I had my memory reversed. I had said that I thought that we had started Free Talk Live not in syndication prior to Mark Levin's show. But it turns out we were syndicated before Mark Levin by a couple of years or a year and a half. So we actually are the longest running show in nights, 7 to 10 at night Eastern time, in all of radio syndication in the United States. So that's a true statement. Turns out the reverse thing that I got wrong was that Levin started his radio show maybe a little before we did. It said 2002.
Right, but it didn't give a month.
We started in November of 2002.
Where he started an afternoon show on WABC.
Right.
Before being given a night show that was then shifted the time a little bit for a couple of years before he started syndication.
Right. So we've been doing this a long time. We've been syndicated since 2004. We're heard on over 160 radio stations. If it's valuable to you to have the ideas of liberty coming out of people's car speakers all around the United States by, you know, which is when they turn on their car and tune into whatever radio station they're listening to, then this show delivers that, and no other libertarian talk show does at our level. So please, get behind Free Talk Live, join the AMP program, get access to the perks. Because remember, we give you everything on the front page of the site, all of the site features, the webcam, the archives. I mean, you can dig deep onto freetalklive.com. It's a deep, detailed site with a lot of stuff that you would normally pay for on other sites. We give you all of that for free. So if you appreciate the work that we do, please join the AMP program. It's $5 a month with any major credit card through PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Bitcoin as well over at amp.freetalklive.com. Plus, you get the perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, AMP-only podcast, AMP-only Facebook group, and more. Again, it's amp.freetalklive.com. As we continue with your calls and thoughts, it's Pat in Michigan. Pat, where are you calling from in Michigan tonight?
I'm calling from Alpena.
Welcome. You're, I believe, listening to WZTK FM. Go ahead.
That sounds great. Yeah, I was going to make a suggestion for your book club.
Okay,
you
sure.
Review a classic and see how much of it's actually come to pass. you know, kind of like the Star Trek thing with the flip phone. I'm thinking George Orwell, 1984.
1984. You know what? I've
excellent
never read
suggestion.
It.
Oh, really?
You
yeah,
never, never read that? It. No. Oh, dude, that was a classic in high school.
Yeah, I read Animal Farm, but not 1984.
Now, Pat, will you read it with us and call in and talk about Room... What is it? Room 1?
Room 101.
Room 101 and what your deepest fears are?
Room 101. What, is that in the book?
That's where...
It's so long since I've read it, I can't remember. Hmm.
It's just where the Ministry of Love,
but whatever the room where they took him in and the rat cage,
yeah, and they converted
him. All right, yeah. So it was in the book. Yeah, like I said, it's been like 30 years or whatever since I read that book.
Now the question is, Pat, will you read it with us?
Well, if I can scrounge up a copy, yeah, I will. I will, but I would suggest that you do, regardless.
So, Let me give you this bit of advice, because 1984 is not in the public domain in the United States, but it is in Australia.
Really?
So there might be a way that you can find an ebook version online if you go to an Australian website.
Are you telling me this is one of the ones the feds have banned or something?
No, it's just not in public domain yet. So you can't find
copyright.
A free version from
it's
a
still
U.S.-based
in
website.
The U.S.
It's no longer in publication. All right, or print.
No, it's still in print.
Public domain is the term that is used when something goes out of copyright.
All right.
Right.
I'm an old redneck. I'm not computer savvy and hooked up to all that juice anyway.
Yeah, so it's still copyrighted in the U.S., so you can't find a free version online from a U.S.-based website, but I did find something from Australia one time.
Would it
time.
Be illegal all to right. download that?
I don't know whether it is or not, nor will I say whether or not I have a copy on my computer.
Fair enough. Hey, Pat, thanks for the suggestion tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. And the toll-free number, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE.
I believe the political term there is, I will neither confirm nor deny.
Let's go to Zach in Ithaca. Zach, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oceania has always been at war with East Asia, just so you know.
Yes,
that's a
reference
from
to something?
1984.
Yes. Okay,
just for fun. So the Doug Stanhope Celebrity Death Pool, I called in about it before. It officially started yesterday at midnight, but I've kept my funeral home open for any stragglers until tonight at midnight for about 2 more hours. Somebody in my funeral home actually missed out on a daily double.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka and creepy Pastor Eddie Long, both dead of cancer. And so not only is that their base points, but also First Blood and then also the Daily Double. So I feel bad about it, so I want to make it worthwhile.
So let me ask this question. Does Superfly Jimmy Snuka count as an athlete?
Ooh. Well, that was the bonus points for last year, so that doesn't really apply.
Oh, so those bonus points don't apply this year.
The guy who won, Death Squad MUFC, he said that – the new bonus points this year is for politicians.
Now, why wouldn't Superfly count as an athlete? I mean, he's a wrestler. That is an athletic thing.
It's irrelevant at this point because there's no bonus points. That was
last year. We like to argue about irrelevant things sometimes. So why wouldn't he count as an athlete?
I don't know.
Because
I mean,
it's a predetermined
event. The outcome is predetermined.
I'm not one of the sages that controls the death pool.
But the same could be said about a lot of boxing matches as well.
Can I just get to my core point before we chat real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the core point was the celebrity death pool.
The point is that I've kept mine open for an extra 24 hours to make sure anyone who wants to participate in the Doug Stanhope Celebrity Death Pool, please join the Scientology Celebrity Center, and I will. I'm refreshing the page every couple minutes. I will let you in, and you just pick 20 celebrities you think will die. It's all in good fun, and it's not too late because the ship is
it's
about to sail.
Not morbid at all.
No, I mean, it's not as morbid as talking about terrorism in Germany. And
fair enough. Fair enough.
It's just everyone's going to die.
Now, why is there a time limit here, you said? Till when? Midnight?
Midnight Eastern. I kept my funeral home open, and somebody missed out on like 175 points. So
now, this is something where you've got to predict who will die in the year 2017, correct?
I mean, the 15th, or in my case, midnight on the 15th, the 16th, through the end of the year. So if you die on December 31st, 2017, there is like 100 points for the last call bonus.
Do the points actually do anything? Because I know you can't legally gamble in this way in the United States for cash. So, I mean, accumulating the points, is it just bragging rights? Like, hey, our team wins?
legal, these terms don't apply. It's about fun, and if you, in a private context, decide to put in $50 a head to the winner, that's fine. But I'm playing, and most people are playing, out of a passion and a love for the game. And the fact that, like, somebody last year, they had 17 hits out of 20.
Wow.
There was multiple people that did that.
Wow.
And to predict who's going to die, that is – I wish I had a time machine because I would travel – back just to win this game.
How many did you get any hits last year?
I only had two. I got I can't remember the first one, but I got the King of Thailand, but he was only worth 12 points because he was
so old.
Years old.
Okay.
And but you know, he was kind of a jerk. You can't even make fun of him without going to prison, so I'm glad he's dead.
I wonder if somebody will institute the Betty White rule. Because you know, nobody wants Betty White to die, right? So the Betty White rule would be if Betty White dies, then everybody loses all of their points.
Why are you trying to ruin the game, man? It seems like you have some sort of emotional block.
Yeah, you can't have an emotional block in this game.
I don't want Betty White to die.
You got to be willing to put your own faves in there.
Might as well get some points off of her. I used to watch the Golden Girls. I love her, but she's going to go, man. The Queen of England's going to die. Who else is a safe pick? Robert Mugabe.
Did you see the thing about a week and a half before the end of 2016? Somebody started up a GoFundMe to protect Betty White from the year 2016, to where he was going to offer his services of protection to Betty White. But if she did not want the services, then there was a local school that he would donate the fund to.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate the call, dude. Good luck with your gig. Definition of athlete, according to dictionary.com, a person trained or gifted in exercises or contests involving physical agility, stamina, or strength. I think a wrestler. Absolutely.
Not a contest.
Predetermined.
I'm
going to
be in Romeo and Juliet, and I'm going to be in fight scenes.
It still has to do with agility, stamina, or strength. It absolutely does.
He's
that. We'll see you tomorrow night. FreeTalkLive.com. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world, so I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.